word this morning. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the opportunity to worship in song and in community and just to praise your name this morning. Father, we would ask that we would be reminded that everything that we strive to do today is to your glory and to your honor. And Father, for the good of us who gather together as we lift you up, the praise is to you, but the benefit comes to us as we lift up your name together, that Father, we are encouraged, that we are reminded of who we are and who you are. Father, we're reminded of the fact that we have a Father who knows our name, who has created us intimately to know us and to walk with us. Father, the truth of the gospel, the hope of your providing the way for redemption is, Father, something we desire not to hold to ourselves and huddle behind closed doors and know that that's good enough. But Father, it would be our desire that our community, those around us, our neighbors, our loved ones, our co-workers and our friends would know the gospel hope that comes in you alone. So, Father, as we look at your word today, as we seek to wrap up a sermon series and yet just begin a process in our life of continually loving those around us, we ask for your strength. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your enlightenment today and for the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah, do I need to adjust this thing a little bit? Okay, we're good. Always have a hard time after Dustin. I say this every time, but he's got such a skinny little head, and he must have no ears at all. To get this thing back on is hard. So hopefully we got it adjusted right. Glad to have you all here today on this Labor Day weekend, and I hate to say it, but actually every student I talk to today, or every parent I talk to of a student, this may not be true of the whole, but everyone I talked to said that their kids were, or the kids told me they were excited for school to start again. And what an excitement that is. And I've talked to a few parents, and we all said we weren't that way when we were in school. So I'm not sure what's changed. So you teachers, you're doing an amazing job because kids want to go back. And that's a good thing. And we parents, as sad as we are to see summer go, sometimes a little routine is not a bad thing either. So we're glad to work back into that. But as we come together today, we're going to be wrapping up our sermon series entitled The Art of Neighboring. This idea of loving our neighbor. And I have enjoyed this sermon series, and I've heard many of you who have enjoyed the topic and the encouragement to go out and to love those around us. But I want to remind us as we, I prayed it, but I want to remind us now that I'm saying it, that truly we are ending a sermon series, but we're not saying now we just put all that on the shelf. As we talk about such an important topic, we come together to try to enlighten ourselves, to know how to do these things better as what God has called us to do. And if you're new with us and haven't been with us, or if you've missed some of the summer, I just want to remind us of what we've talked about. This idea of what it means for the church to truly take the Great Commission seriously. And I've said that every week I've stood up here, and I think Pastor Dustin said it when he was up here, that the goal we have had is to say, what does it look like when the body of Christ, day in and day out, loves God with everything they have, and they love their neighbors just like they love themselves? And that almost sounds selfish, and I have a hard time even saying that, but it's God's word's not mine, and we get the point. Sorry, I can yell if I have to. There we go. This idea of what it means to love God, love our neighbors. We talked about the deterrence to that, time and fear. We've talked about moving down the line from people being strangers to being acquaintances and from acquaintances into a relationship with us. And we've talked about what it means to take baby steps along the way. We've talked about right motives. We've talked about what it means that we must receive from our neighbors as much as we want to give to them, that this is not just a one way, they're my project kind of thing. Pastor Dustin spoke very well over the last couple weeks about the idea of setting boundaries and focusing on this idea in our life and this part of our life. And today I just want to kind of summarize things. I want to kind of bring it to a close. And as we started by saying, what would it look like if the body of Christ truly took on the great commandment and lived it out? I want to just end with that thought. What does it look like if the body of Christ stands in unity with one another and reaches out to love, just out of sheer love, those around them? What does it look like when the body of Christ stands in unity to care for those in need around us in our community, our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and all of these things? And I want to just bring us back to that, and I want us to be inspired today by what can happen. And I want us to talk about what we need to make sure these things do happen. And I want to be encouraged by what is already happening around us. So today we're going to cover a lot of that stuff, but it's going to be pretty straight to the point, so we're not going to hover long on any of this. But one scripture I want us to start looking at is John 1:14, and we want to look at it from the Message today. And Clark's going to put that up. This is the Message version, a paraphrase of John 1:14. And it says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." This is speaking of the incarnation of Christ, taking on flesh and blood, part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, coming down to earth, taking on a bodily form like you and I have, and walking this earth, still being 100% God, being 100% man, all at the same time, but having the pains of a body, having the struggles of having to walk from place to place, the anguish that came with some of the things that happened in his life, and yet still not losing his deity and yet possessing these things. And the beautiful question is, what would that look like if God actually came down, took on a bodily form, and moved into our neighborhood? What if he moved on to McKay Court? Added house number 11 to the 10 houses on McKay Court, my neighborhood, my street, and literally moved in. What an exciting and yet maybe scary thing that would be. And yet I want to remind us that as we walk as the body of Christ, that is what is happening every day. That the body of Christ is now moved into the neighborhood. But it looks a little different. And this one I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bible, to take it and open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a passage that some of you may have heard many times, some of you may never have heard. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Just want to read these verses to us today and be challenged by them. First Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is in honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
And in the church, God has anointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then it ends. We don't have this up here, but it ends, I think, maybe we do. He does have it up there. The end of that last verse, 31, says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." And we know, many of us, what comes in 1 Corinthians 13. We hear it at most of the weddings we go to. It's the love chapter that says, "I may speak with the tongues of angels, and yet if I don't have love, I'm just a gong making a loud noise." And it goes on to describe what true love looks like. John 1 tells us that God took on bodily form and moved it in the neighborhood. What 1 Corinthians tells us is that the body of Christ is still active and alive through his church today. And that's you and me if we follow Christ. And each of us has been given a part of the body, and we come together to serve and to make sure that we are serving those around us. A couple of just short passages I want to read to you. One is Mark 10:45. We need to be reminded of this. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." God took on bodily form and moved into the neighborhood. But he didn't come for himself. He came to serve. He came to be there available for other people. Gave his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price for the hope of the gospel to be effective in the lives of people. And the gospel is still true. The hope of the gospel is still true. And we are, as parts of the body, called to work together to walk into the neighborhood as the representation of the hope of the gospel. And we have to do that. Another passage, I'm going to read a little more than what we have on the screen here, but I want you to focus on the part we have on the screen, is a passage that I read quite often. Philippians chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 3 up here, but I want you to just listen as I read beyond, around verse 3. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from being his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And it goes on to say, for your attitude should be that of the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. These passages tell us very clearly that God, to bring the gospel, came and took on the form of a human being and lived as our perfect example, died on the cross, raised on the third day, ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, speaking to our behalf, and left behind until he comes back again. We imperfect group of people who get to pull together and become the body of Christ day to day. What a scary and amazing thought that is, that he's left it to us. Look around, people. He's left the case to us. And we're not perfect. And yet he's called us each to have our little part and have our little gift and to have our little piece of it and to work together. Now what we have to understand is that God didn't come down here and take care of that body he took on so he could take care of himself only. But he built up his body day to day, spent time with the Father, did the meals when he needed to do the work of the Father. But we have often made the mistake in the church that we have become all about taking care of the body for the body's sake. We eat right and we get fed and we exercise our spirits, then we might look good in the spiritual mirror when we look in it. Instead of understanding that we're supposed to take care of the body to do the work that the body was created to do. And I want us to be reminded of that. That we weren't given a piece of the body of Christ so just the body of Christ would look nice. That the church would look pretty. That we would clean ourselves up and on Sundays we put on our best and we act right. And everybody thinks the church is okay. That we can look in the spiritual mirror and feel good about ourselves. But the simple fact is that we've been given a part of the body to unite with the rest of the body. To build the body up, to do what the body was meant to do. To present Christ to those in need. To encourage one another, sure. To help each other, sure. To love one another, for sure. But we're called beyond that. That there's a world around us that needs hope. And we want to be about that hope. What does it look like for our neighbors who are just drowning in problems, to know that the body of Christ has moved into the neighborhood with the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the mercy and grace of Christ, but truly hands and feet of Christ in the neighborhood? I think if we can just get a picture of that, we would be quite amazed at what can happen. Now, Dave Runyon and Jay Pathick, who wrote the book, The Art of Neighboring, that we've been using, they said that when they first started this thing, they were just trying to do a little better. Because if you remember the story, their mayor encouraged them to say, you know what, if you just helped our people be better neighbors, most of the problem in our community would be solved. And they said how sad it was that the mayor, who was not a Christian, had to encourage the body of Christ to take the Great Commandment seriously. But within a year, they were amazed at what happened within a year. The first year, all they did is put together a little sermon series, things that people could do in their churches, and 20 churches took part in it. They did some research and realized that was 17,000 people, representing roughly 8,000 households. And if each of those 8,000 households related to 8 people around them, as we've asked you to do with the art of neighboring, the who's my neighbor magnet, and just be aware of who's around you, it meant 60,000 families and roughly 180,000 people, individuals, could have been impacted by that process. Now, were they all? Probably not. But they could have been. And it's a pretty amazing thought that out of one little thought and one little challenge, that 180,000 people in their community had the potential of having the body of Christ impact them. I ran the numbers for us. Our church is made up of roughly about 150 families. That's about 1,200 households. If you do the 8 around each of our households, it's about 1,200 households potentially. It's about 3,600 people that could be touched by the gospel if we take this challenge seriously. So if we, 150 families, take care of those 8 families around us and just get to know them and love on them, 3,600 people, roughly, could be loved on with the love of Christ. And at current numbers, that's about 12% of our city. Now, I know some of you are out in acreages and we're trying to figure out how those 8 work. You know those 8. You probably know them too well, as we've talked about. That's the problem. You know, you've grown up with these people. You know them. You've known these families all their lives. But it has great potential when we work together to really allow us to just bring hope to a lot of people. But we've got to be reminded once again that it's about the fact that we love them, not that we're trying to be project managers of them. But we want the gospel. And next week, come back, please. We're going to do our fall kickoff and look at our year ahead. And folks, we have an amazing year ahead of just trying to encounter the living Christ. But we're going to start next week by talking about what the gospel really is. What should be our true understanding of the gospel, the hope that we have in Christ. So come next week and hear that. We're going to talk about that. But we hold this hope that we don't want to hold to ourselves. We want to share it with those around us. And yet sometimes we feel so inadequate to do it. If you're like me, I feel inadequate to do it. I so long have felt inadequate to do it. And yet when I feel the freedom just to love people as Christ loves me and as he has called me to love other people, it's not as difficult as we can make it sometime. And when kingdom people get together and go together towards a kingdom cause, amazing things happen. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but I think maybe we need a little inspiration here. We had a good interim pastor who used to know when to put a good joke in. It never had anything to do with the sermon, but he would interject a sports joke in it when everybody would wake up. But I want to give us a little inspiration today of what can happen when a bunch of people put their energies together. I want to show you a video. Some of you may have seen this. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on TED Talks. Eric Whitaker is a composer, and he did a thing a number of years ago now, and he's done multiple ones since then. But he wrote a song, and he put it out there on the internet on his blog, and he said, here's the song I wrote. Take the sheet music. Film yourself singing some of the, I don't know the right terms, harmonies, melodies, something. Sing part of the song. Videotape yourself doing it. Send it in. Put it up on YouTube. And then he spent a great amount of time along with a videographer to put it together to see what would happen when all these voices separately come together. And we're going to watch this. It's about 4.5 minutes. Just watch this if you would. quite beautiful when they put all those voices together. Sad to see that my video did not make it, but you know why. He's done more since then where he's had many more people in there. And this could be seen as a cheesy attempt to show you what teamwork looks like and what collaboration looks like. But I want it to be an encouragement for us that when many parts come together, great things can happen. And when we allow ourselves as the body of Christ to come together with our many different parts, our different skills, our different callings, we can do amazing things. Looking at the Corinthians passage where it talks about, you know what, the hand says to the, or the eye says to the ear, I don't need you, or the ear says to the eye, I don't need you. We need each other. And I think we need to be encouraged that God has placed us where he's placed us for a reason. He's gifted us with the things he's gifted us with for a reason. That can be spiritual gifts and skills, that could be resources that you have available to you, and yet God has called us to use them for his kingdom glory. We've been encouraged maybe by the video to say that one voice by itself might seem underwhelming, and yet when coupled with many other voices and or parts of the body, great things can happen. With that inspiration, I want us to have a little progress report here of how we're doing, and I want you to be encouraged that we're doing some things well, and we're growing, and we're doing some things right. And yet, as always, we can always strive to do better. When it comes to our caring for one another within the body of Christ, I feel like we have a pretty good handle on that. We can still do a lot better, and yet we strive to do well with that. That when there's a need within the body, we work really hard to take care of that. When it comes to the individual reaching out to our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones, it is amazing to see what's happening in that. And I'm hearing weekly stories of you and many of you who are, you know, kind of going out of that comfort zone for some to care for those around you. And it's happening. And some of the stories are just beautiful. I won't have time to share them here, and I don't have permission to share some. But people are stepping outside of what has been a long-term comfort zone for many. To say, I'm just going to do this one little thing for my neighbor or my loved one or my coworker or whatever. And through that, it's not like we're just packing out the pews because of that. That's not the point. The point is that we're just building those relationships, going from a stranger to acquaintance to a relationship, and that's happening. And I want us to be encouraged by that. When it comes to really being the body of Christ in the neighborhood, though, I think we need to really consider how we can do that better and how we can work together to do that. That if all we have in a neighborhood is an ear working by itself and hears the problems but doesn't know how to solve some of the problems, maybe that's not the best way to take care of the neighborhood. But when we choose to come together as God's chosen people, his priesthood, his hands and his feet, and work together, some amazing things can happen. And I want to encourage us that we need to step up to the plate and do corporate neighborhood care together in a much better way. I said at the beginning of the sermon series, and as we were approaching this topic, that we were going to be reconfiguring our clusters, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that just very briefly. These won't happen until October. We need to give the old clusters the way they are a chance to gather together. But we will be introducing some new clusters around neighborhoods coming in October. And first of all, I want you to know that we have prayed long and hard about this. As elders, as staff, we have looked into this. We have thought beyond thought on this. And I know there are some who don't like the thought of changing what has already been done and what has been set into place. And the reasons they give are very good reasons, that they like who they're with and they've been encouraged by the cluster and they like their cluster leaders or whatever. Those are all great things. You know, I've been callous in the past and said at certain times I don't care what people think on certain things. And there are some things I really don't care what people think. More times than not, though, I do care. And we as leadership do care. And I've listened to every concern that I've heard from somebody or has been brought to me by somebody else from somebody. And we've considered this as elders, and we talked long and hard about it at our last elder meeting to decide if the changes we wanted to make are the right changes. And the simple fact is that they are. We feel that God is calling us to change how we do our clusters. And it won't look very different other than the clusters will be gathered around neighborhoods. Now, some neighborhoods are fuller than others. Caledonia is a cluster in and of itself. And it will be a cluster on its own because there's enough people there to make a cluster. Some of the struggles we had with the clusters, the way we had committed it or created it, and for those who are new, we have 8 clusters at this point. Some of the problems we've had is that some of the clusters were way too big. And it's hard to care for that many people when you come together. Some of the clusters were way too young. Some of the clusters were way too old. Some of the clusters didn't have a good mix of people at different ages of life. And we want to make sure that we are clustering our people together in groups of about anywhere between 35 and 50, 55, no more than that. We want to make sure that we are clustered with people who live near us, that we can care for each other and care for those who are in our circle of influence within our own neighborhoods. Now, some of you who have created new friendships in your cluster, you know what? We're not going to tell you to stop those friendships. You can still be friends with those people. You know, believe it or not, you can still be friends with people outside of your cluster. We want to encourage that. We initially put the clusters together. We tried to represent or take care of and keep together in clusters, community groups that we had. And looking back, I wish I wouldn't have worked that hard to make that happen. I wish I would have gone with the neighborhoods in the first place. But we're going to ask that we try to do this because we as elders and leadership feel that this is the right thing to do for us as a community to grow here, but also to help grow our neighborhoods and our love in our neighborhoods. We want you to understand that we've considered the pros and cons both ways, but we think this is right for the kingdom. We think this is right for what God has called us to do, and we think this is right for the sustainable model of ministry for our church in our community. Now, many of you won't even notice a difference because a lot of you were kind of clustered by your neighborhood. But we'll tell you more as it comes. But I want you to know that we've thought long and hard about this. And once again, I want to tell you that we do care. And if you're offended by it or bothered by it, upset by it or any other thing, please know we're sorry. But we still think we have to do what is right for the whole. And that is the struggle of leadership at times, to look at the whole group and say that some may not be happy with the choices. Trust me, I, as well as anybody, know that any decision we make will not be liked by everybody. But we strive to do what God is calling us to do. We strive to lead in a way, in a manner that is pleasing to Him, honoring to Him, glorifying to Him, and very specifically what He is calling us to do. So if you have some concerns, I would be glad to listen to them. But please know we're going to move forward with this in October. I think it'll be good. I think everybody will understand. Now, some clusters will be made up of 2 or 3 neighborhoods because they're smaller. So, you know, it may not be just your neighborhood and your cluster, but you will still be gathered around people within your neighborhood. And what does it look like when a need arises in the neighborhood and I say, you know what, I need help with my neighbor and I've got numerous people around me that are there to help me serve my neighbors? It's a beautiful picture, and we've seen it begin to happen already. What if somebody who has a good ear, spiritual ear, hears of a need and says, you know what, there's a need, but I can't take care of it personally, but I know there's somebody in my cluster who can. A senior in our area has been hurt and can't shovel and needs somebody to shovel their walk, and there might be somebody else in your cluster who's just the perfect person to go out there and shovel that walk in the morning when it snows. Our desire is to work together to present as much as possible the full body of Christ within the neighborhood. And we want to do that well. We go back to that 1 Corinthians passage once again, the many parts coming together to be the embodiment of Christ in the neighborhood. But I want to remind us that this takes sacrifice. It takes a big step. And honestly, folks, we can't just think about ourselves. We just can't think about us as a group here. If we come together and say, the only reason I go to church is so I can get fed and get fatter as a Christian and know more knowledge of the Bible and yet never put it into practice, we've missed the point. Have you come here just because you like the people? That's not a bad thing, but it's not a complete thing. We've come that we might be fed and prepared and enriched and encouraged, that we might become more and more every day the body of Christ where God has put us. And we're going to work together to do that better. We're going to work together to be encouraged by our neighbors who walk with us here, but also to encourage our neighbors that we all walk with. And folks, I hope we can get a picture of what it looks like. There may be months and months and months go by where there's no need in the neighborhood where we work together on, but there may come a time where there's a need and we come together, and that's when the body of Christ shines. So I want us to commit to this. I want us to be aware of who's in our neighborhood, our fellow Christians who are in our neighborhood, not only from this body, but from other groups in town. I can't tell them what to do. They meet in their places for their things. There's different reasons why we meet in different places, yet we serve one God. Be aware of other Christians in your neighborhood. Partner with them. It's not just about Leduc Fellowship and our great goal of what we're doing. But let's strive to be the body of Christ, living out the work of Christ in the neighborhood. As we come to this fall, we're going to continually try to strive to balance that feeding the body and taking care of the body and lifting us up and encouraging us and studying the Word and all those things, walking intimately with God. But we have to balance that with what it means to walk as the incarnation of Christ, as the body of Christ, this day and age where God has put us. And it's that pendulum swing one way or the other. When we go too heavy one way or too heavy the other way, that's when we miss the point. But when we come together and say we are the people of God who know the Word of God, who love God, and walk as Christ in our neighborhood, bringing the hope of the gospel, that's when the kingdom work gets done. It's not going to be easy as we do some transitioning and stuff. It's not going to be, it's going to take some work. But I ask that we all be committed to putting the work into it, to make it the most that it can be. Because I'll guarantee you that when we love our neighborhood the way God wants us to, when we feel the power of the body of Christ at work in the neighborhood, we will be encouraged, we will be strengthened, and God will do great things. Let us pray together. Father God, as we come together once again, as we come to this moment, I simply pray that you would allow us to see the vision of what we can do together that we can't do apart. But Father, you would give us the encouragement of gathering around your body in the neighborhood to do our part, Lord. Let nobody think that they don't have a part. Some may say they're too old. Some may say they're too young. Some may say they're too whatever or don't have enough of this or enough of that. And yet we come together and we share the spiritual and the physical resources that you have provided in our life to present you well where we live. And Father, as we seek to be your hands and your feet, I ask that we just find regular, normal, everyday ways to do that. I pray, God, that we would understand what it means to work together, that we would understand what it means to find our part and to do it well, that we would rely upon others, that we might be an encouragement where you've put us. And Father, I just simply pray that we could be united in this, we go about this work, that we could be excited by it, because I think it's going to be very exciting. And Father, as we come to it, I pray that you would just open our eyes to the amazing amount of things that you will be able to do in and through us. Allow us to be in tune with you, not with our own desires, not with plan of men, but Lord, with your spiritual understanding of the way you love those around us. And out of that, we would become more and more your mouthpiece, your ambassadors. And Father, we thank you very much for the opportunity to do so. And we commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just ask you to join me with this last song. I picked this song today because I just thought it was quite a challenge for me, I know. It just talks about how we should walk by faith, and it just goes into different fears that we could have and things that we sometimes just need to overcome to just do God's work for him. And I just pray that, or I just ask that you would take these words in as we sing.
Will I believe you when you say
Your hand will guide my every way. Will I receive the words you say? Every moment of every day. And I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Well, because of this broken road prepares your will for me. Help me to raise